Lamb. And they were singing with thunder voices. You know, Vicky thought I got loud earlier. I said, can you hear me? Can you imagine being in the presence of the living God? Being at the throne in heaven, worshiping Him. I mean, how could you contain yourself? You know? How could we contain ourselves? But it's the same right here.
That's right.
Yeah, we're in His presence, you know. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen?
Yep.
I mean, come on. Oh, it's not up there anymore, but glory to the Lamb. I mean, it says here, they were saying, worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive great power and might, wealth and wisdom, honor, glory, and praise. Slaughtered. Boy, it makes you think a little bit different, huh? You know, last week we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. You know, if He had never resurrected from the grave, then we'd have no hope, would we? But boy, I tell you what we shared last week, the same power that brought God's Son, Jesus, back to life, lives in everyone who's born again. Think of that. Jesus couldn't do what He did without the Holy Spirit. Amen? Think of that. He couldn't have. Because He was in human form. He gave up His God throne when He came on earth. But we saw when He was baptized, age 30, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon Him and gave Him the power to fulfill God's mission for Jesus. Think of that. Amen? All right. So that power lives in you. Amen? Woo! I mean, come on now. You know, we have no excuse for not fulfilling what He's called us to do, except we don't want to do it. Amen? All right, honest people today. You know, we can get to the point in our life that we like things kind of laid back. We like things the way it was last year and year before. We can think some of us go back to the 60s and 70s. Well, not 60s, but 50s and 70s. Forget about the 60s. Remember how all the good old days. Oh, remember how everybody loved one another and everybody's in church every Sunday. And oh, everybody's drunk Friday night. And you know? Oh, not everybody's drunk Friday night. I'd rather have Saturday because I didn't go to church on Sunday. So. But the same power now is available to us, lives in us, and that's what we just celebrate. I mean, of all the places and time, you know, throw the lights on behind me. Thank you. Thank you. But we look at all the time that you could have been born in these last, well, 6,000 years, at least 2,000 years, going back to Jesus. God has selected us to live at this time. You're not a mistake. You're not here by accident. I don't care how you came. God had a plan for you from the very beginning. Think of that. And for most of us, the plan He had for us was derailed for a while because we was driving the train instead of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Now we let Him drive, and for some of us, we're hanging on to the caboose, but at least you're hanging on. But going back here again, what takes place in heaven, worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive great power and might. He was slaughtered for us. He died for you and me. Think of that. To deliver us from our wicked ways and from our sins and bring us back in contact with the Heavenly Father. To be in relationship again. To be in a relationship with Him. And folks, I know sometimes we can take that as very general. We say, oh, that's cool. But man, I tell you what, it's something to have contact with the Creator of the universe, with God Almighty, to have fellowship with Him. You know, here we are now, 2024. How many more days we have yet? How many more weeks, months, years? I don't know. But we know the time is very near to His return. You know, I'm going to finish reading there in Revelation. Gave Him great wealth and wisdom and honor, glory and praise. Then every living being joined the angelic choir Every creature in heaven and on earth, under the earth, in the sea, and everything in them were worshiping with one voice, saying, "Praise, honor, glory, and dominion be to God enthroned in Christ the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures responded, "Amen." And the 24 elders threw themselves face down to the ground and worshiped. Wow. Praise, honor, glory, dominion. That's God. And that's what we have for Him. You know? In our hearts, we should get so excited. Woo-wee. Amen? Anybody with me on that one? We all feel like, man, listen to this. And we look around, oh man, you come in to worship the Lord today, huh? All right. Man, I tell you what. We'll just bring the kingdom of heaven down here on earth today. I'm going to worship Him, praise Him today. Ain't no rock going to glorify God when it comes to me. Because He deserves everything. You know, inside, oh man, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You know, that's where we're at with them. That's why He's trying to, He's stirring things up. You know, and then Master, in a moment or two or 10 minutes, maybe, I don't know when, we're going to break bread together. Why are we going to do that? Remember Jesus. You got it. Why is it so important to remember Jesus? He's everything. He's everything. He knew there'd be times, that ups and downs, you'd be struggling. Sometimes you shake your head, is it worth it all? You know? But He knew that day to be here, and we see it. Did I bring my Bible up? Yeah. I always get to have one of these. But we see it in Luke. I'll just read it, you're going to know what it says. But Dr. Luke had it documented here. What we call the Last Supper of the Master. It says, what's that? Oh, anywhere in Luke you want to turn to, that's fine. I'm going to be in chapter 22, verse 17. But they're sitting around the table. And then when Jesus had taken a cup and given thanks, He said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And when He had taken some bread and given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, He took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood." So He went from the old covenant, which we find in the Old Testament, and then we find the new covenant in the New Testament. He didn't get rid of the old covenant. He fulfilled the old covenant. He gave us a new covenant through Jesus. He said, "Now do this in remembrance of me." And right away, the first thing we remember, I believe, is that He took my death penalty. Amen? Every one of you have a death penalty for your sin. Whether you believe it or not, you do. The Word of God is true, and He tells us up front that wages of our sin is separation from God for eternity, is death, in a place called hell. You know, first of all, we have to recognize that we have a need for a Savior, right? And the only way we have to recognize that is that if we're honest with ourselves. You know, somewhere along the line, you had to face yourself, who you truly was in the eyes of God. You know, we went from being, "Hey, I'm not too bad of a person," you know. Yeah, I'm not perfect, okay? I'm not perfect. But then we always pick out somebody else, but I'm not as bad as that person is. Yeah, back in the day, we did that, justify our sins. Then I have it blaming other people for our sins, did we not? They wouldn't treat me that way. I wouldn't have done this. It's your fault. But then as we mature, and I mean, as private people is praying for us, and the Word of God comes to us, we recognize truly the need for a Savior. Man, we surrender our life to Him. God, forgive me. Christ, come into my life. Yes, I believe you lived, you died, you rose from the grave, you paid the penalty of my sin. I can't do it. I can't live a life like you want me to outside of you. come into my life. Woo! And the Spirit of the living God comes into your life. Baptized. It says receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gives us the strength. But we know that Jesus is the living Word of God, right? So when he says, do this in remembrance of me, he said, hey, do this in remembrance of all of me, which is the Word of God. And so the days that he's chose us to live in, and for those of us who are walking with him, following him, wanting to please him, he gives us a lot of things to consider. And some of us sitting here, again, we get this, I'm not good enough. Not saying that you're not born again, but you get this feeling because you've been thumped on all your life or talked about all your life, and other people think they're better than you are, okay? And if people think they're better than you are, they just need Jesus. Amen? I mean, some people still judge a book by the cover. I guess that's what I want to say. They don't know what's inside of you. They don't even spend time. In fact, they talk about you because somebody else talked about you, talked about you, who never met you either. Now, why should we spend so much time on worrying about what people say about you? But do we? Yeah, we do, don't we? I know. Because we all want to be liked and loved, right? That's inside it. We want to. But, you know, I'll tell you, 40 years being a cop, not everybody loves cops. Okay? 20 years as a pastor, not everybody loves pastors. Okay? So, what's that?
She said
you're back in the bowl. I know. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'll go eat some worms. Remember that? Okay. Maybe I have this Fresno. I'm not sure. If we live our life to please other people and not God, we're going to be miserable. Because people you can please today, and tomorrow they're going to turn on you. Yep. Oh, you know, Lord, you bring me in today some her fantastic stuffed cupcakes. Oh, man, caramel flavor. Oh, my. Oh, my, my, my. Oh, thank you, Lori. Thank you. Thank you. Are there any back here? I saw you bring something in. Okay. But tomorrow she comes in, she brings me in broccoli. What's wrong with her? She's saying I need to be more healthier? See, so how quickly are we in Turkey? What we're getting at is that we want to please God in all that we say and all that we do. Amen? I mean, that is our number one goal. That's one thing that God won't please you today. Whether people understand me or not, I don't care. I'm going to please you. I'm going to love one another. I'm going to be honest with people. I'm going to share the truth. If someone tells me they don't want to hear it, then I'll quit talking, Lord. But I want to please you. So he reminds us in Matthew chapter 5 for a minute or two, while there. Again, letting us know that he already knew that we would be here on this planet, April the 7th, 2024. He knew exactly what's going on. He knows everything about this eclipse coming tomorrow. Amen? I'll try to address some of that here in just a minute or two. But his commission to us is very simple. In Matthew 5:13, can you hear me okay? Because I'm still plugged. Everybody hear me back in the back all right? Okay. Matthew 5, I believe, verse 13, we're going to start at. Now Jesus said, now do this in remembrance of me. So what all did he instruct us? He says that you are, this is New American Standard, Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under foot by men. Okay. You are the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus says about you. Might not be what your neighbor says about you. Or your relative. You're the salt. Now, we'll look at the salt. Salt is something that preserved things back in the day. I mean, even the soldiers and stuff got paid by salt. That's how valuable it was. You put salt, anybody have any, ever salt ham back in the days? You never salted it and keep it? Okay. It's really delicious, but you got to soak it a while and get the salt out of it, because, man, it's... But yeah, preservative. Salt brings taste to life. Ever try to eat something? Oh, I need a pinch of salt. Why? It brings you flavor. Okay? So what he is saying to us, to remember, you're with me. You are the salt of the world. Our responsibility is to make conversations to where they are edible. We are to take conversations and turn them around. Amen? You follow me on that? Okay? Okay? Because he's the truth. Right? He's everything. And so, for you, say, amen, you are the salt of the world. So, I'm relying upon you that when you get in the middle of something and things on a haywire and people's talking about everybody, you bring it around. Oh, they don't want to hear that. Well, then, goodbye. But that's our responsibility, you know, to look and find. There's always something in a conversation, grab a hold of them, turn it around. Okay? It's to share the truth. I mean, again, here we are, 2024, the day before this big eclipse is coming. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? No, uh-uh. But it doesn't change that we are the salt of the earth. That we are be there. Now, for any of us here, didn't mean to talk behind your back. But for us here today, especially those who have been in this ministry for years, it doesn't make any difference what happens tomorrow. You already should be prepared for what happens tomorrow. You're rooted in the Word of God. Amen? Yep. And so what happens tomorrow is going to happen. Oh, we're going to do this. I'm going to do the same thing I'm doing today. Love the Lord, sharing the truth. Prepared. In my mind, in my spirit, as I study the Scriptures, I know these are the days that the Master talked about. And we see more and more of the things being revealed that he said are the signs of his return. Amen? You all see that, right? I mean, can you imagine? Here we are. We'll be the generations that's going to hear that trumpet sound. Boom! Would it be tomorrow? When the eclipse is going to top one another? Bing! I have no idea. But prepared to go. And prepared to stay. If it isn't that. Okay? I mean, if you look, is this past week or... I'm going to get ahead of myself. Let's go down to verse 14. You are the light of the world, Jesus tells us. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Oh, man. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So see your good works. Now, he's not saying be out there and bragging about everything you're doing. Amen? But they can see the works that we do to bring God the glory. Yes. But a light. Have you ever walked into a room and it's like, wow. You ever get in there and it's so, there's light in there, but it's so dark. It's so, oh man, it's just, I'm trying to think of the proper word to think of. But there's no, there's no love. It's gloomy. Thank you. It's gloomy. Like you walked in like, oh my lands. I mean, you look around and you think, man, there's going to be a couple. Where's Satan at here? That walked into his house, you know? You ever been there before? Walk in the place, boom. But you're the light of the world. So How are we going to turn that around? Oh, wow. We were called to do that. Now, some room you can't light your candle, then you get out. Amen? But we're called to be that light. Especially around brothers and sisters in the Lord. We all have tough days, right? We all have things that, oh, it's going bad. And you're sitting around here and... Oh, Penny. Yeah. My gold piece drowned last night.
Oh, no.
Think that's bad. My cat ate the goldfish.
Oh, but he got his belly full.
Yeah, but then the dog ate the cat. Oh. And so Penny's thinking, she's thinking, oh, wow. Well, Pastor, if you go to, I think it's Psalms 36:7, God does tell us that he rescues man and the beast. So at least your goldfish, your cat, and your dog's all in heaven. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Now, I don't know if goldfish go to heaven, so don't brush it. But he said he rescues the beast and mankind. So just taking things and turning it around. You know, we start going down that path sometimes of complaining, and it builds up steam, does it not? And more steam, and we go, whoa! As a Christian, if there's complaints out there, what are we going to say?
Jesus.
You're on the right track. Let's pray about it. Having a tough time at work? Let's just pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for employment. Those who call me trouble today, Lord, I just pray that you reveal to them your glory. Give me the strength to be the light. And he'll help you light your... And then, again, there's time where he'll say, exit, say left. Yeah, you shine. You share. It's time to go on and say, Lord, send somebody else, call somebody their path to witness. But to be the light and the salt of the world. And just look at the Passion Translation just for a second. Going back up to Matthew 5:13. Your lives are like salt among the people. But if you, like salt, become bland, how can your saltiness be restored? Flavorless salt is good for nothing. It will be thrown out and trampled on by others. So how can saltiness be restored, they said? Now, the best way not to lose our saltiness is what? Stay in the Word of God, right? And listen to the Master and follow Him. And know who you are. You are somebody. I mean, you're a child of God. Man, we got to shake that baby off. This heaviness that some carry because we don't line up with the world. We're not favored by the world. Other people who don't know the Lord is getting favors of the world and being maybe raised up a level above you when you know you deserve it. Hey, we can't let it do that to us. God advances us. Amen? Yeah, so if we please Him and we honor Him, we're doing everything we need to do. And we want to do that. And to be salty, you get the point. Here they come in here. Chuck and Marty's coming in. They're going to tell me, yeah, I need Jesus and what Jesus done in their lives. And they always take gloomy days and try and make them brighter. You ever know anybody that wants to sit around in gloom all the time? I had a grandmother that way. I mean, I loved her, but I've never ever, from a kid on up, I've never seen her open the curtain up in her house. She'd sit on her couch, smoke her cigarettes, waiting for us to leave, that way they could eat. And, you know, I mean, I didn't think nothing of it back then, you know, but I just thought, man, how sad she must have been. You know, how depressed she must have been. Her life didn't turn out the way that she wanted it, maybe. Or maybe me being there is why she's depressed. I don't know, you know. But that's just her life. And if I was born again then, and I mean, I could really talk to her now. Of course, she'd be 140 years old. But those in your life today that you associate with, and boy, they just got that wall up. Don't give up on them. Okay, let God, just pray, let God reveal to you what took place in their lives. And then He'll guide you in how to witness to them, how to help them out, how to deliver them. And He says in verse 5:14 in the Passion Translation, "Your lies light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's a place where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others, so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them. And then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven." Again, going back to that one maybe who's always down and out, and you go and share love. You know, even when they're grouchy to you, the Lord shows you how to witness to them. And maybe it might not be saying nothing about Jesus, but bringing a cupcake in. You know, or anything, showing up and helping them shovel their path, anything like that, to tear down. Because whatever got inside of them, there's something that Christ can do to get rid of it. Amen? But to bring Him all the glory. You know, we say in here quite often, people come through and eat dinner and say, "Hey, thanks for dinner." Don't thank us. God provides it, right? We just burn it and serve it. And burn it and serve it, you know. But He said, you know, do this in remembrance of us, of Him. Then He shares with us also, if I can find it, I had it marked. Now He shares with him Matthew 24. Again, you're very familiar with this passage, starting in verse 3, I believe. Verse 1. Jesus came out from the temple, and I'm in 24 of Matthew, was going away when His disciples came up to point out the temple building to Him. And He said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." You know, that prophecy came true in 70 AD. The Romans tore down the temple, and they did it stone at a time. I mean, the Master knew it from the very beginning. As He was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one mislead you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumor of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. In this gospel, the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nation, and then the end will come." That's, again, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I've told you. You know, just recently, the last 8 days, I can't remember how many earthquakes we've had. We've had a couple in Ohio, New York, Taiwan had one, California, Alaska. I mean, again, these things are increasing. And this eclipse is coming, and I did some research on it, but I don't know a whole lot about it. I just know that when this took place back in 18-something, Thomas Jefferson spoke about it. The same type of eclipse took place, and it caused earthquakes. The Miranda Fault, Madrid Fault, may have went on like for, they had 2,000 quakes afterwards. And that's here in America. What will take place tomorrow? I don't know. Earthquakes are coming. We know famine's already here. We know lawlessness is already running. I mean, look at what's going on. I mean, last week we talked about our president having a transgender bunny day for the White House. I mean, that's sad. And now today, or yesterday, I believe it was, our president told Israel, Netanyahu, that they're either going to withdraw, or we're not going to support them anymore. I believe that's correct, isn't it, girl?
Yeah.
Ceasefire. So, we're not going to be standing behind Israel. And we already know what God said. I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. So all this stuff, everything is lining up. We're headed to one world government, one world religion, one world currency. I mean, it's all in front of us. You know, how many more days we have to serve Him here on earth? I don't know. You know, one earthquake we know takes place, and next thing you know, you can't get any groceries. And we know these things are coming. And this isn't given to us to scare us. We should already be prepared in our hearts and our mind. If it takes place tomorrow, if the earthquake takes place, and Walmart's out of food, whatever it might be, hey, we're all ready. Amen? I believe, I pray we are. I pray spiritually, number one, that you're ready. You know, you have me stand that fault when it goes. I want you in heaven praising the Lord. That's the number one thing. And the other thing that you have prepared is to help us through some tough times. And you know, we still feed people, feed families. But man, we need to be prepared for that. And not go bonkers if things go south tomorrow. Oh, well, I'll be rejoicing. No, I'm not going to be happy. But I'm going to be thanking the Lord that I know Him. And thanking that He's already prepared for these days. Amen. And that knowing this, that more people will be turning their eyes looking for help, looking for answers, and deposit inside our spirit is Jesus Christ, that we may show others the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we've been called to do. Amen. I mean, that's, man. And He trusts you with that. Are you ready for that responsibility? Have you embraced that responsibility? Have you been studying the Word? Amen. Been praying? Preparing yourself? Yes. I mean, it's going to be an awesome time for the church. It really will be fantastic that we'll have more people's attention. We'll have their attention. I wish it was back, like, we get their attention because we're serving chicken and stuff after service today. We sit around out in the courtyard with a white fence around there and talk about the Lord. I like that. But we're not there anymore. We're on the front lines. We're the rescue crew. And God will work with us and through us to bring more and more souls into His kingdom. Amen. Anybody got a question about I share before we break bread? Again, this is not to scare anybody. This is this fact being put out there. And when He says the end will come, number one, first thing that's going to come to end is the church age. Okay? The world will not end when the rapture takes place. The church is removed. And then we have the 7 years of tribulation on the earth. For all those who rejected Jesus, had nothing to do with them, who thinks we're terrible, they're going to get their wish. They're going to be running this world. But the Antichrist will raise up. Folks, I tell you, you don't want to be here. Seriously. You don't want to be here. But the only way to escape this is truly to surrender your life to Jesus and to follow Him. To follow Him, not play games. I know a few people out there that talk about Jesus, 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 just to make them look good in front of people. But behind the door, they are the devil himself. And you need your wisdom to keep yourself separated from such people. Remember, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Satan can himself look like an angel of light. Amen? But inside of us, those who are born again, you have that discernment, you got that Holy Spirit, use it. And don't compromise your position because somebody offers you something that you think you'd like to have. That's going to cost you your soul. It is not worth it. Amen? Amen. We want to break bread together. What do you think of that? Amen. The Master did this. Again, be encouraged. I mean, You have Him in your life. You know, to me, he looks down at us and says, man, you guys are awesome. He's thinking, man, yes! We got Dixie, we got her little doggy here. See, the doggy can bring people to you. See, you know, God even likes the doggies. Yep. He's kind of looking at me like, I woke him up too early, huh? But for you, each one of us, to be the light and the salt. You know, through prayer we accomplish a lot. Many things. Sometimes this world isn't going to be very nice to you. Well, things aren't going to go the way you want. But hey, follow the Master. Listen to His Word. Be the light and the salt. And let Him fight your battles for you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Jesus, we thank You for the sacrifice You did for us. And those of us gathered here this morning and born again, Father, Your Spirit lives within us. God, we can't thank You enough. We were a sinful shell at one time, headed to hell, and actually thought we was enjoying our life. But man, You revealed Yourself to us. And we receive You as our Lord and our Savior. We turn our back on the old ways. To follow You. We thank You for Your love and Your mercy. We thank You that You're there. When we stumble, You're there to pick us back up again. Thank You for dusting us off. Thank You for not throwing us away. Thank You for allowing us to live in this time. We thank You for the promises and hope we have in Your Word. And for our loved ones, Father. Oh man, we continue to intercede. We thank You as You're redeeming them for us. Yes. We thank You for the salvation of our children, our children's 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 children, and siblings, and neighbors. Oh Lord, this time of year, it's springtime, and a lot of folks be planting seeds, and the seeds are going to grow. And may you remember the same thing with Your Word, it is a seed. And if we speak that word out, if we plant that seed, it will do what it's purposed to do, Lord. So may that also bring us peace, strength, joy, and more determination, Lord. Now we pray for our nation, Father. Maybe our government may have turned their back on Israel. We do not. We stand with Israel. We declare peace, strength, wisdom for their leaders. They shall not be overtaken, Lord. And for those who are coming against them, those in leadership in this nation, Lord, was coming against Israel, we ask they be removed from power. That God-fearing men and women be placed in their positions, Lord. We'll have a great revival. And we will be that light shining once again in this world. Light of You to other nations. To show them the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, through all this, may You be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.